We're going to talk about, are we a child of God or are you a child of the devil? And we're going to look at it carefully. As was read, 1 John chapter 3 in verse 10. Let's look at this together. 1 John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. By this, there's a way to know, and he says, it's obvious. You know, when something's obvious, you don't have to guess. You can't judge me. If it's obvious, there's no judging. You judge yourself. Obvious. Plain to see. A while back, we had some high winds out at our place, and I went out, and we had an oak tree, huge oak tree, that had snapped off at the base. And going out and observing, you know what was obvious? It was rotten. There were insects had gotten in the base of it and chewed it up inside, so the winds made it more obvious what was wrong with it. So when something is obvious, there are two things possessed by a child of God. And he says here in the verse that practice righteousness. If they don't practice righteousness, they are not of God, nor the one who does not love their brother. Those are the two things that are obvious. Now this morning, we're not going to deal with the love side of it. I want to deal with righteousness. What does the righteousness of God look like? Come back, if you would, into chapter 2, 1 John. Chapter 2, look at verse 29. If you know that He, God, is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. How do you know you're born of God? A person that is born of God is a person that possesses His life. And you know what the life of God looks like? Righteousness. And if you're not practicing the righteousness of God, whose child are you? You think the devil cares about righteousness and what's right? Look at chapter 3 while we're here, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. Take a look at the great love that God has for us and calling us His child. That's love. You have love for family. And He's just look at the love of God. If you're born of God, you possess the things of God. Let me illustrate it this way. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13 and 14, the Scriptures read, He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here came God, and He rescued us. He rescued us. From what domain? From the domain of darkness. There was a time and point that every single one of us was part of the domain of darkness. Well, whose domain is that? We were children of the devil. He possessed us. He owned us. He was our Father. Something changed. And the day that you were baptized into Christ, not only were you baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, for redemption, the buying you back, but He also took you and He transferred you and I from this domain of darkness, from the influence and power of the devil, and put us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are now born of God. We are now children of God. Well, it's obvious if we are a child of God, and it's obvious if we're a child of the devil. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not a child of God. Nor the one who does not love their brother. They're not a child of God either. See how vital it is? All you have to do is just watch how people act and react. And you can tell who they're part of. Let's talk about righteousness. The righteousness of God. Come back to 1 Peter chapter 3. These are responses of a child of God we're going to look at. 1 Peter chapter 3. If forgiveness of sins, if buying you back means something, you will take on the qualities of the one that bought you back. If you're a child of God, you're going to take on the qualities of God. If you're a child of the devil, you'll continue into the qualities of the devil, what that father provides. But we're children of God. He's bestowed upon us a name that we've transferred out of one kingdom into another. And so look at chapter 3, verse 8. We're going to look at here's the righteousness of God and what it looks like. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious. There's the righteousness of God. Harmonious. Be in harmony. Be in unity. Promote the things that promote peace and oneness. Being one in mind. You ever been around that one person that no matter what you decide or what you're going to do, they always throw a wrench into the works. And they want to create a disturbance. That's not harmony. Within the body of Christ, you know what we should all be doing? We should all be in harmony. Why? Because that's the righteousness of God. God's righteousness creates harmony. Whether or not we're talking about within the church, whether or not we're talking about within your marriages, whether or not we're talking about anything on your job or whatever, harmony is God's righteousness at work. That you're trying to create things to get along and not throw that wrench in things and not be the one that's always got to have the negative stuff in. Let us all be harmonious. That's what a child of God does. So the question is for us, are we a people that are actively pursuing harmony? Or do we always seem to have to throw in something that creates a disturbance? Look at the second thing here in verse 8. He says, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic. That's not feeling sorry for another person. The righteousness of God is sympathetic. In other words, you suffer with another person. Isn't that what Jesus did when He came to this earth? He suffered with us as humans. He suffered a lot of things. So He knows what it takes. We need to be a sympathetic people. We need to suffer with others that are having difficulties, that may be, you know, experiencing something bad in their life. Paul told the Romans in Romans 12:15 this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes things don't go well in people's lives and they're hurting and you need to suffer with them. You need to show that there's some care and there's some concern. Now let me add something to that. Sometimes people in the body of Christ start teaching that they're the only ones that suffer with others. And they start condemning people in the church because I don't see them suffering with anybody. What are they doing? That's not harmony. They're spreading disharmony among the people just because they're trying to say they're not being sympathetic toward those who hurt. You've got to be careful that you don't condemn people because no one knows exactly what another person is doing. And that's not our call to go spreading that. I just need to make sure the righteousness of God is being harmonious. It's being sympathetic. We can be sympathetic from the idea of rejoicing with those who have the good going for them and also suffering with those who are weeping, who are hurting. So we need to be careful with those. Look at the next thing in verse 8. And third thing. He says, sympathetic, brotherly. That's our word. That's the Greek word, Philadelphia. That's what Philadelphia means, brotherly, the city of brotherly love. Brotherly. We need to be brotherly toward others, especially those within the body of Christ. You know why? I don't care what you feel about these people that are around you that assemble here to worship. They have been born of God too. And you need to show some brotherliness to them. You don't need to stand aloof. I don't like them. No, the righteousness of God is brotherly toward them. Treats them like of the same family. We're all on the same side, on the same family. And righteousness practices brotherliness toward one another. Now, question. What do you think a child of the devil would not do? You think a child of the devil would be brotherly? You think a child of the devil would be sympathetic? You think a child of the devil would be harmonious? Children of the devil are obvious because they practice the righteousness of God. And that's what he's explaining they are. They're brotherly. Look at the next word. Kind-hearted. We're talking about compassionate, some versions use. Kind-hearted. We're talking about people not being harsh at one another. Sometimes people are just harsh and they speak their mind and they let you know when they're not happy. They let you know when they disapprove. Now we're back to harmonious. See, they're not in harmony either. We need to be kind-hearted. Sometimes in life, sometimes my brothers and my sisters, they fail. And when they fail, they feel terrible for something they have done or said. And you know what we want to do? We want to treat them with harshness. That's not the righteousness of God. You know, we sometimes people, when they have failed, they say, I'm sorry. And then people will come along and they'll say, they really didn't mean it. Why can't you accept what they say? What is wrong with us that we won't be kind-hearted? We won't be tender. We won't be forgiving. We won't be in harmony. See, this is another aspect of the righteousness of God. Sometimes people need mercy. Even when they've done wrong, they need mercy. They need your mercy, especially if they've offended you. Not harshness. Not trying to correct everything about them. You know, how much mercy does a child of God or child of the devil show? How much harshness does a child of the devil show? How much mercy and compassion? How much kind-heartedness does a child of God show? See, do we need to be practicing His righteousness? Look at the next thing at the end here, verse 8. Humble in spirit. Don't exalt yourself. Don't exalt yourself above others. Sometimes people can unknowingly, but they do it, they start treating others as a lesser person. Well, they're not of our vein. You know, they don't do what we do and look what like we look like. And they're not humble. They're treating them as inferior. That's not a child of God. A child of God shows his mercy. A child of God is humble in spirit. Let's look at the world of the people of the devil that live around us every day. You know what children of the devil say? Look out for number one. That's what a child of the devil says. There's no humility in that. Look out for number one. Where the righteousness of God, look out for others first, not number one. And that's what's being preached to us and taught to us by this world. So we need to make sure that we are a child of God. Continue on. Look at verse 9. Not returning evil for evil. We all have feelings, but too many people live by those feelings. It hurts when someone does us evil. It hurts us when someone takes advantage of us. That hurts our feelings. But you know what? We're born of God. We've got something greater. And we are never to return evil for the evil done to us. Well, I just don't want to get close to that. I don't like them because you know what they did to me? Have you ever thought about what you've done to Jesus? What if Jesus returned evil that you've done to God in Christ? Where would we all be? Sometimes we've been hurt, and when someone does us evil, we feel justified to hurt them back. That's called revenge. Not returning evil for evil. You know, Romans 12:19, the scriptures teach, never take your own revenge. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord. When you take revenge on somebody that's done you evil, you have just taken the place of God. You've pushed God out of the way. I'll take it from here. Revenge is not a part of our world. That's God's dealings. And we should never take revenge on another person who has done us wrong. You know why maybe we don't convert more people? Because they don't see the God living in us. They need to see never returning evil for evil, but returning good for the evil done to us. It's not our place to take revenge. Continue on with the righteousness of God in verse 9. Or insult for insult. Let's think about that one. When somebody insults you, what's the natural thing to do? I don't have to take that. I don't have to be a doormat to them. When you've been insulted, don't insult them back. That's the righteousness of God. Was Jesus insulted? Was Jesus called names? And what did he do? Even to the point that he was given a trial that was completely offline, what did he do to those people that dealt him such an insult, that dealt him so much evil? He ended up, Father, forgive them. See, Jesus is the Son of God. He's a child of God. And those who have been born of God take on the righteousness of God. and they practice this righteousness, not returning evil for evil. Well, what do you do when people insult you? What do you do when people do you evil? He goes ahead and explains this out in verse 9. But giving a blessing instead. There's the righteousness of God. When someone does you evil, when someone insults you, what are you to give in return? A blessing. How many people think about doing that? Could you speak well to them? Could you speak well? And could you pray for them? Most of the time when we've been insulted or we've been dealt evil, you know what we want? I want nothing more to do with them. Just stay away from, and we avoid them. How in the world are they ever going to see Christ in me? How are they ever going to see I've been born of God? It's obvious the children of God and the children of the devil. We're trying to get places with people. We've got to help situations. And in doing that, when people do us wrong, give them a blessing. Don't speak evil back to them. Don't insult them back. How many people have been tore up because they battle one another? See, we need to think in terms of the righteousness of God. I'm not going to insult them back. I want to give them a blessing. I'm going to ask God to help them. I'm going to ask God to do them good. I want to say something that gives them something favorable. I don't want to be like them, because generally when people are doing evil and insulting, you may be talking to a child of the devil. How are you going to get their attention? By battling them on those terms? You can't do that. A child of God is obvious. They don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but they invoke a blessing. Say something good that would help them in that situation. That's the best thing that you could do. That's what God expects of you and me in those situations. Notice what else, why we do that. But giving a blessing instead, for you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Did you pick that up? You were called to God for this very purpose, to give a blessing. Because when you can give a blessing to someone who has insulted you, someone that you think has done you evil, guess what God's waiting to do to you? Give you a blessing, return goodness to you, if you will do that. See, do we think about doing these things? These things that we're talking about, these are the things of the righteousness of God. You are called for this purpose. The purpose that if you do these things, you will receive a blessing from God. Isn't that what we would like? Wouldn't we like God's favor? You're not in God's favor if you go this other route. Be in harmony. Be sympathetic. Be brotherly to one another. You know, that's the way we're going to do it. You know, be kind, kind-hearted, mercy. Be humble in spirit. Don't exalt yourself. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult. I know it's hard, but you know who you've been called to be? You're called a child of God. That's the love of God has on you and has on me. We need to inherit a blessing. True blessings come from God. You want God to withhold blessings from you? Then you just stay in a stew about someone and you avoid them and you don't do what's good for their sake. And God can withhold blessings from you and from me. Now ask yourself, as we get to this point, ask yourself this question. Are you a child of God or a child of the devil? How do you react in these situations? Look at your reactions And those tell big things about who you belong to. We're children of God. There will be no children of the devil in heaven. None whatsoever. And all of these characteristics, this is the righteousness of God on display for all to see. It's obvious. It's obvious. I tell you one thing we can't do. We can't do one thing about what another person has done to me or done to you. I can't do anything about them. But I can do something about me as a child of God. You can do something about you. You can determine where are you walking? Which world are you living in? Who belongs to us? Is the devil our father? Or is God our father? That's the question. And each one of us will answer that this morning before we leave. We've been redeemed. And you know, when being redeemed, having our sins forgiven, you know what's never coming up again? God's never coming back and saying, do you remember when you said this? Do you remember when you did that? That's never coming up. God forgives permanently. And it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Romans 2:4 tells us. God's kindness. You and I need to be practicing the righteousness of God. And I'm trying to encourage you that this morning, to give you something to compare. And that's what we have from these scriptures. Where do you abide? Where do you walk?